This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so many of you know that I am temporarily living with my mother until my husband finds a job down here. So she has gotten me hooked into a television show that I never had watched before, NCIS. So there's this character by the name of Abby, for those of you that don't know the show. And Abby, who's played by Polly Perrette, is this quirky, lovable, little ditzy, but completely brilliant forensic investigator in the laboratory. And so frequently in this television crime drama, she is the linchpin for solving the case. So Abby. Well, in this one show we were watching last week, it was a rerun, and the director of the NCIS dies in the line of duty, and they're all grieving, and they're overcome, but they have to keep up with their investigation. And Abby, when she finds out, falls to her knees and is crying and just doesn't understand and stands up, and her immediate supervisor, Gibbs, is with her, and she looks at him and she said, "Why didn't I tell her? Why didn't I tell her how much I liked her? Why didn't I tell her what a snappy dresser she is? I always loved the way she dressed. It would have made her smile." And she said, "Look at you, Gibbs. Look at you, Gibbs. You've got coat on all the time, and you always look really nice." And so Gibbs, even in his grief, smiled a little bit. And she said, "See, even you just smiled." And then the rest of the team walked in, all grieving. And she goes up to each one of them and tells them something authentic that she feels about them, or gives them a compliment that is very sincere, hugs them, and they're all a little bit uncomfortable with the whole thing, but they accept. And Abby, and I have to say her character in NCIS has this purity. There's just this purity that she taps into in that show. She acted in love, and she didn't hesitate. I'm reminded of this. I'm reminded of a quote that I saw when I visited a monastery. Just before coming down here, I had the opportunity of going on a four-day retreat to Holy Cross Monastery in upstate New York, and it's this beautiful, idyllic place. But what I saw on the first day is what stayed with me the most of my whole experience and continues to be with me and haunt me in a really good way. And it's this quote that was written by the founder of the Order of Holy Cross, James Hannington. And it's this: "Love must act as light must shine, as fire must burn." I'll say it one more time. Love must act as light must shine, as fire must burn. It's this immovable motion when you tap into the purity of love that's with us always. Because when we don't say yes in those moments where we have that opportunity, when we don't say yes, we miss out on a sanctified moment. A sanctified moment, an offering of love. And we miss the miracles in everyday life. Consider our first reading. King David wanted to act in love. He was looking around in his glorious place where he lived, built of cedar, and he said, "This isn't right. God is kept out in this tent." They had this symbol of God being in a tent. And we need to make him a temple. We need to make God give God the glory by building something for God. And Nathan says, yeah, his advisor. But Nathan then later gets a word from God and takes it back to King David and says, God says, "No, I've been doing just fine out here in this tent. I don't need to be confined. I will make you a home. I will make you a temple." We carry it with us in everywhere we go, in whatever we do. And the more we practice the presence of God, the more we must. Love must act, as light must shine, as fire must burn. And to God be the glory, and Christ the mystery. Mary got it. She understood, but not immediately. Can you imagine being in your room, imagine if you will, male or female, that you are female, young, teenager, sitting in your room. We've heard this story a million times, and every time we hear it, it's still astounding. We would be perplexed if all of a sudden an angel is in our room visiting us, telling us that we are going to become pregnant, and not just with any baby, but the anointed one, the Son of the Most High. Well, Mary says, how can this be? How can this be? We too would probably say the same thing. And Mary thought about it and made a decision. She said, yes. I wonder if we would. I wonder. There's this amazing poem that I'd like to share with you by Denise Levertov. And it's called Annunciation, and I offer it to you, my friends, as an Advent gift to ponder before my closing remarks. So sit back, close your eyes, if you will, and take it in. Annunciation by Denise Levertov. We know the scene, the room variously furnished, almost always a lectern, a book, always the tall lily. Arrived on solemn grandeur of great wings, the angelic ambassador standing or hovering, whom she acknowledges, a guest. But we are told of meek obedience. No one mentions courage. The engendering spirit did not enter her without consent. God waited. She was free to accept or to refuse, choice integral to humanness. Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness in a man or woman are turned away from in dread, in a wave of weakness, in despair, and with relief. Ordinary lives continue. God does not smite them, but the gates close. The pathway vanishes. She had been a child who played, ate, slept like any other child, but unlike others, wept only for pity, laughed in joy, not triumph. Compassion and intelligence fused in her, indivisible. Called to a destiny more momentous than any in all of time, she did not quail, only asked a simple, how can this be? And gravely, courteously, took to heart the angel's reply, perceiving instantly the astounding ministry she was offered, to bear in her womb infinite weight and lightness, to carry in hidden, finite inwardness 9 months of eternity, to contain in slender vase of being the sum of power, in narrow flesh the sum of light, then bring to birth, push out into air a man-child needing like any other milk and love, but was God. Mary's love must act. She felt it in her bones. She said, yes, be it unto me according to your will. And as soon as the angel left, Scripture tells us she ran. She ran as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country, to her cousin Elizabeth's, to proclaim the glorious words we all sang together in the Magnificat a few moments ago. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And then she goes on to say that this greatness is not contained in any church or temple. The Lord will make you a house, make you a house, this house of the Lord, contained in us too. She herself had been lifted from lowliness to high privilege by this mighty God. All things are possible through her Son that would turn the world on its head. The proud will be scattered, the hungry filled, and as Herbert O'Driscoll writes, not by magic, but by calling real men and real women in every generation to do these things, love must act. We are all carrying God's expression within every cell of our being. We are made in God's image, and we can say yes to radiating that power, and through the Holy Spirit, and in and through the Christ child. I have an Advent challenge for each one of us, myself included, between now and Christmas Day, for you to act in love, one act of love that God is nudging you to do. And by nudging, I mean something that you need a little nudge to do. Perhaps it's realizing that you need to be the first one to say, I'm sorry, or to ask for forgiveness for yourself, or to forgive someone else. Just one thing. Perhaps it's an unsolicited kindness to someone where you go out of your way to help, even if it's in front of everybody else. One act, no matter how small, no matter how great, a sanctifying moment. And then let me know, if you are so led, how it goes. I would love to hear about it. Expect Christ this Christmas. Let us pray. Blessed, sacred, holy time of expecting Jesus, strengthen us that we may say yes to whatever you would have us do, dear God, whatever you would have us say, whatever you would have us be. Quiet us to the resounding mystery of your presence in our lives. Help us say yes. Help us act, shine, and burn with your love. Amen.